In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second week of Advent provides no relief for the Christian community, and the command to watchfulness and readiness at the coming of the Son of Man. The disciples, who were the first to hear these two parables of Jesus, had ringing in their ears the stern warnings of Jesus against the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and their obsession with possession. Both hypocrisy and greed, said Jesus, are the opposite of the gospel. And we choose hypocrisy when we lack courage to uphold the words of the prophets and the apostles, and in particular, the words of Jesus. And we choose possessions when we think that they will make us rich, when in fact they make us very, very poor. Throughout this discourse in Luke's gospel, Jesus uses imperatives to teach the Christian community about the kingdom and the imminence of its coming. And perhaps nowhere else in all of Luke's gospel are they more appropriate than they are here. For what Jesus does is he calls the community to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man, to be ready for his coming, and he calls them through repentance. The first imperative sets the tone for Jesus' entire teaching on watchfulness. For what Jesus commands the disciples to do is this: gird your loins and let your lamps be burning. Now, these two imperatives simply recall the Lord's instructions to Aaron and Moses on how they must eat the Passover. As it says in Exodus, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Now, to gird the loins was simply to lift up the heavy garments from the feet and the ankles so that one would be ready to travel at a moment's notice. Loins are always girded for a journey. And at that first Passover, of course, it was necessary to be ready to journey at a moment's notice after the angel of death had passed over their home. And because Passover was after dark, they needed lamps to search out the house for that hidden leaven, because yeast was not possible on the Passover. Readiness was everything. Now, the urgency at that first Passover was because of the covenant God made with the Israelites through the blood of the Lamb that was to protect them and their firstborn from death. The Passover Exodus account is the greatest act of deliverance by God for the Israelites in the Old Testament. And it is a deliverance that comes through a bloody covenant. To be ready for the second coming is to be ready as those first Israelites at that first Passover, which is, of course, a foretaste of our Eucharist. Deliverance is now. It is here. So be ready. To have your loins girded and your lamps burning is to be ready, Jesus says, as those slaves who are awaiting their master who returns from the Passover banquet. And in the midst of these commands for readiness, Jesus announces two beatitudes. Blessed are those slaves who are alert when the Lord comes. Blessed are those. Now, the crux of this parable seems to be readiness and watchfulness while the master is away, so that they may be prepared to open the door for him when he returns. And yet, in the midst of these beatitudes for readiness and watchfulness, Jesus has a great surprise for us. And that surprise is the gospel. Lest we think that we are worthy to serve him because we have overcome hypocrisy and our obsession of things, lest we think that we are entitled to greet him when he comes because of our fervent efforts towards readiness, Jesus provides a twist to the parable, a twist that overturns our attempts to serve him through our own efforts. And the surprise is this, that Jesus, the Lord, girds his loins. He has us sit at a table, and he comes and serves us. Now that completely reverses the normal customs of the slaves serving the master. Here, the Lord serves the slave. But is this not the very nature of the incarnation we are about to celebrate? Where the very Son of God takes our flesh and then gives up that flesh for us all. Is this not the very character of Jesus' Eucharistic table fellowship where he comes and serves us with his slain body and blood? And is this not the very nature of our worship, where Jesus comes to us as the Passover lamb, born in humility, sacrificed in shame, and now present among us in bread and wine? Total reversals of what we might expect. And yet Jesus is full of reversals. For does he not go on to say in his final teaching at the Last Supper, when the disciples were arguing among themselves who was the greatest, does he not tell them that the greatest is not the one who sits at the table, but the one who serves, and that he, Jesus, is among them as one who serves? The biggest reversal of all is that the New Testament is still a bloody one. For Jesus girded his loins at that last Passover, and then he went on to a bloody death and a vindicating resurrection. And does not Jesus continue to gird his loins for us at these ongoing suppers that he prepares for us of his very flesh and the eternal food of that flesh? Blessed are those slaves who are ready to be served by him with this very precious food. The second parable is brief and easily understood. Jesus goes back to the imperatives, two of them, to conclude this section, as stern warnings of the Christian community to prepare. Know this, says Jesus, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would not leave his house to be broken into. Become ready, says Jesus, because at an hour you do not suppose the Son of Man is coming. The Son of Man will come in judgment suddenly at an hour the Christian community does not know. Be ready, Christians, and do not think that you are ready because you seem to have overcome hypocrisy and greed or have it under control. And yet, we are ready. That's what the season of Advent is all about. We are ready because we repent. We repent of trying to serve him better than he can serve us. And at his invitation, we now recline at a table he has prepared for us, and we graciously receive his service. And we are prepared. We are prepared for his second coming by feasting now upon the gift of his nativity and the countless other gifts he brings to Bethlehem. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.